Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
Well, last week I wanted to take a couple of weeks and just acknowledge and address the whole thing of what does apostolic look like. Last week we talked about what does it look like in the house here. One of the responsibilities that my title gives me is outreach. And I said last week, and I'll say it again, outreach to me is not an event. It is you and I becoming salt and light out there, outside the four walls. And so we talked about that last week, and we talked about the reality of the fact is we don't have anything to give out there if we don't learn how to drink and receive from God, because the reality is I have nothing to give, you have nothing to give, but what does not come from God? In fact, the Apostle Paul said, what do you have that did not come from God? And if it came from God, did not come from God, what good is it? And if it did come from God, why do you boast? Amen? So the reality is that we need to pull from somewhere to have something to give away to others. And many times we don't feel like we have anything to give away to others because we are dehydrated. We have not been drinking. Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. But anyway, that was last week. This week, I want to address the thing of what does apostolic look like? And we've said from the beginning, when we talk about apostolic, we're not talking about a position as much as we are a function. I believe that even as in the past several years, God has been restoring to the church, back to the church, true prophetic. So in this day, he is restoring true apostolic. But in the years leading up to the restoration of true prophetic, how many of you know that false prophetic sprung up? And in the effort to recapture true prophetic ministry, many abused the prophetic gift. And there became, and some of you were maybe affected by it and hurt by it, and I'm talking over the few decades of heavy-handed prophetic ministry. Prophetic words that gave direction and correction and brought shame and brought harshness and did not properly represent the heart of God, that went on for years, and some of us were hurt by that. And so over the last decade, we've been spending time here with Alan Ross and other prophetic voices, bringing a true picture of what the true prophetic looks like, which always reflects the Father heart of God, which is gentle and is always protecting the individual believer, always watching to make sure that there's no shame, that there's no hurting of the children of God. In the same way that in the years leading up to the establishing of the true prophetic, there was a misuse of the prophetic, I believe that is also true in the area of the apostolic. And in this desire to see the apostolic restored to the church, there has been a misuse of apostolic authority and apostolic government, and there has come a heavy-handedness connected with it. And I'm here to say this morning, that is not the heart of God. God is never heavy-handed. He is never harsh. That's not his nature. You look at the scripture and see what God says about himself. He is not harsh. He is not angry. He gets angry at things and situations. But our God is a gentle father. And leadership, and especially the apostolic and the prophetic, should always reflect the nature of he who sits in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does kingdom leadership look like? What does the kingdom of God look like? And we need to understand that it looks way different than the kingdom of man does. See, there is the kingdom or the government of man, and there is the kingdom or the government of God. And this government of God is almost upside down from the kingdom of man. And we need to understand that. Otherwise, we try to bring the precepts of leadership and of authority out of this kingdom and we bring it into the church, and people begin to get wounded and hurt because it is not an authentic, godly government. And many people have been hurt, and you might be here this morning, and if we get time before we're done here this morning, we're going to address it and release you from a heavy-handed leadership that is not biblical government in the church. See, it's important to understand that when Marcy and I were prayed over a few weeks back and put into an apostolic position, it did not increase our authority in the sense of church government. See, I already had a higher authority than apostolic in church government. I'm an elder of the church. Church government is always, the highest level of church government is always on the local level. It's never out there somewhere. It's always autonomous, and it's always in team. It's not a individual, it is a team of people who work together to give leadership and government, and I'm going to define what that looks like, what it is and what it isn't. Turn with me. Oh, Lord, how do we? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to leave time at the end to minister and to release some things. First Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. This is, I want us to see the heart of Paul. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of a steward that one be found faithful. When Paul called himself a servant of Christ, he used a very interesting word in the original Greek, and I'll pronounce it to my best, and you won't remember it, so it really doesn't matter, but it is the Greek word huperentes. Huperentes. And what that word means, and if you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, you will see that it is an under-rower. It is a subordinate rower. And the picture is of the language of the day. They were criminals who were in the bottom of ships, and they were chained to oars with lots of other men, and they rowed the boat. They were under rowers. They were in the very belly of the ship, and they rowed the boat. And they were part of a team of people who, by no choice of their own, I suppose, were there, but they rowed together. That's this picture that Paul paints of his ministry. He was an under-rower. Behind the scenes, he rowed and he pulled and he was with a team. It puts us in remembrance of Paul, who says, I, Paul, an apostle, a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's sitting in a Roman prison, surrounded by Roman guards, eating Roman food, surrounded by Roman rats in Roman chains, and he says, I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. In another place, he says, Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Romans, Paul, the bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. See, an apostle wasn't a position that defined who he was, it defined what he did. He was apostolic. But his title that he gave himself was a bondservant, and a bondservant was someone who was a servant or a slave who was free to leave if he wanted to, but because of love for his master, he became a bondservant, and the bond that held him to continue to serve his master was love. And that's the title that he gives himself. Someone jokingly, because they knew it would get a rise out of me, said, I'm going to get you a jacket that says apostle on it. I said, don't you dare, I will not wear it. That's And I know they were joking. But it's silly. Because the reality, when we talk about the apostolic, it is not so much about position as it is about function. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, about apostolic authority, and so we understand that. But it's important that we get this picture that Paul painted. And it's important that we understand what true biblical government looks like, which is way different in this realm of the kingdom of God rather than in this realm, the kingdom of man. And we tend to see authority in a certain way, and we assume it functions the same in the church, and it doesn't. And if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 22, we'll see Jesus address this. The setting of Luke chapter 22 is Jesus has just had the Last Supper with the disciples. He's trying to get them to understand he is about to leave. He introduces the whole thing of the Last Supper, communion we call it. In other gospels, we see that he's in this same setting, he washes their feet, and he's there handing out towels, and they're arguing about titles. Because they're not functioning in this type of kingdom, they're functioning in this type of kingdom. So we find in verse 24, they are arguing about which one of them will be the greatest. And that word greatest in the original language isn't so much most popular. It's who's going to be the strongest? Who's going to be the big kahuna? Who's going to be known? And we find this same story sort of when the two sons of Zebedee, John and James, come and mother comes and says, can my one son sit on your right hand in paradise and my other son sit on your left hand in paradise? And Jesus basically tells the same thing he's going to say here. And he always tells it around the theme of who's the greatest. And when we talk about apostolic, we tend to see it as the top of the pyramid, if you would. And I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not the top of the pyramid. It's at the very foundation. It is at the bottom of the pyramid. It is an under rower. That's why Paul said, we apostles are the scum and the offscouring of the earth. And it's because of the principle of leadership and government in the kingdom of God. So Jesus addresses this. Verse 24. Now there was also a dispute among them. It says also a dispute because another thing they were disputing about is which one is going to betray Jesus, because he just said someone's going to betray me. So they got a double argument going on. Who is it? Isn't that interesting? Who's the lowest on the totem pole? Who's the scumbag that's going to betray him? Oh, by the way, who's the greatest? So he addresses this and he talks about the two kingdoms. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles, that'd be the kings or the leadership, in the world setting, in the world kingdom, however you want to say it, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. In modern terminology, he's just saying those in this sphere, among the Gentiles, among those outside the kingdom of God, outside the covenant of God, in that realm, they exercise lordship over you, and they get great benefits from it. Then he says, but not so among you. He takes them and he pulls their head out of this sphere and he tries to pull them over into this sphere and he lays out what true kingdom government looks like. You want to be the greatest, but not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Let him who is greatest among you be servant of all. That is the drastic difference between the kingdom of man and the kingdom of God. The reality is that the position that Marcy and I were put in when hands were laid on us and prophetic things were spoken over us was not about titles. It was about function. It was not a greater level of authority. It was a greater opportunity and authority to serve. And that's the truth. And we need to understand that. Well, then you might ask, well, yeah, but isn't there apostolic authority? Yes, there absolutely is. There's an apostolic authority, and it's not to have an authority over you. It's an authority for you. It's an authority that serves you. It's an authority in the realm of the Spirit to declare some things, to decree some things. It's an authority to get to hear the voice of heaven and from heaven or from earth declare the will and the purposes of heaven on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Sooner or later, it's more than just a rote prayer, but we begin to see what is the will of God on earth. Well, it lines up with heaven, but somebody's got to decree it. Somebody's got to declare it. And the apostolic and the prophetic are the voice of heaven on earth declaring the things of God, whether it's the gospel of peace, whether it's prophetic declaration, it doesn't matter. But it is a gifting and a calling and an ability to decree and declare some things that change things on earth because it brings the atmosphere of heaven to earth. And it isn't about authority over the body of Christ. It's about an authority for the body of Christ. It's important. That's why it's foundational. That's why it's under rowing. That's why it's not in the helm of the ship. It's in the belly of the ship. Well, for goodness sakes, then who's in the helm of the ship? The elders are in the helm of the ship. And guess what? They get to row too. But we must understand this because we always want to pull that style of God into the church and that's where people get hurt. That's where people get misused. The reality is that in the kingdom of God, all authority is delegated. The reality is the only reason I have any apostolic authority in this church at all is because I was given it. In fact, I told Dave and the guys, I said, I will not do this unless it's unanimous among all of you that this is what God is saying. Because only they could delegate that authority. Only they could give that release. For years, we've had Don Fotenhauer as our apostolic covering. But he only is our apostolic covering and our apostolic voice as he is given permission and invited in. And so it ought to be. And so I'm functioning in a role, but I'm only functioning, Marcy and I are functioning in a role, but we're only functioning there because you've given us permission to. And it's not an authority over you, it's an authority for you. And we're going to release that in a minute. Well, more than a minute. But we must, but even in putting authority in the hands of a team of elders, see, this is why you see the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, the church that he started, the church that he planted, and he writes so carefully, and he asserts his apostleship, but he does not demand it. He asserts his apostleship. He reminds him of his fatherhood over them, and that it was he that first brought the gospel to him, but he cannot command it or demand it. Why? Because he doesn't have the authority. That is in the local level. And so he's asserting his apostleship, but in a sense, he's asking permission to continue as their apostolic foundation. That's why he writes so carefully. When he writes to them about giving of finances, he writes so carefully. Because he doesn't have the right, he doesn't have the authority to give orders. That realm? Absolutely. This realm? No. And not only is that true in the church, but it's true in your individual lives. God, in his wisdom, has purposed that you and I have our own free will, and he never violates or messes with that. That's why he looks to be invited into our life. That's why we must invite Jesus Christ to be our Lord. Now, he's Lord of lords and King of kings. There's no question about that. The question is he your Lord? And he's not until you've given him permission. That is an amazing truth. Authority in this realm over here, it's like, well, if he's Lord of lords and King of kings, just make a decree. He's your Lord. No, he's not. Because he doesn't function in that government. He functions in the kingdom of God government, which says all authority must be delegated and no one has a right to usurp authority, your authority for your own self. That was one of the biggest misuses of the prophetic, was prophetic words were decreed and declared over people that usurped their authority over their own self. Like, you two go to Africa. See ya. It'll be warmer there this winter than it will be here. You and the bugs will have fun. But do you understand what I'm saying? See, we must never usurp the authority of the individual believer, and that does, no matter what. God would not do that, nor would he set up a government of men and or women to do that. Now, you may say, well, boy, that sounds really noble. That's not noble. I don't want the responsibility. I don't want to be responsible. See, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I will not be there with you. And I'm not going to become the voice of God for you. I'm not going to become the authority of God. I'm not going to. In fact, people come to us as leaders and they say, I feel like God is showing me I'm supposed to do this, this, and this. And as soon as I hear those words, I back up a bit. Now, I might even think what they just heard might not be right, but I will not mess with that phrase, God showed me, God spoke to me. Because they might be right. And I'd rather they be wrong hearing God's voice than be wrong hearing mine. Because if they're wrong hearing God's voice, Father will work it out. But if they hear wrong hearing my voice, I refuse to spend the hours and hours and hours it will take to work it out. Just being really honest. Taking all the nobility out of it, all the humility out of it, and just saying the reality is that the responsibility for the individual believer rests with the individual believer, because you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ all by yourself. Do leaders have any responsibility? Yes, they do. They have a responsibility to properly represent the Father heart of God in every circumstance and instant. instance they can. And don't get me wrong, if somebody said, you know, I just feel God, and it depends, to be very honest, it depends on relationship. If I have a relationship level with that person, I might say, well, just consider this. Number one, test it, take some time. But the reality is that the government of God rests with you. See, we sing it, He's my Lord. We don't sing, Bob's my Lord, He's my Lord. No. You even see it in marriage. It's another whole area that authority. See, the best picture of church government is found in marriage. And the Apostle Paul draws that analogy when he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. You know, wives, submit to your husbands. And then he goes on through all kinds of things. And at the end, he says, but I'm really speaking concerning the government of the church, Christ and his church. Here's a question for you. How would I handle it if some people treated my wife the way some leaders treat Christ's bride? How would I handle it if somebody handles my wife harshly and heavy-handedly? And we think that Jesus doesn't have cause for concern when his bride is handled that way? The bride of Christ, you, the people of God, must always be treated with the utmost respect because you are, after all, the children of God, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the habitat of the Holy Spirit. So does that give you permission to be a bunch of rebels? Well, let me know how that works out for you. See, I've got more confidence in God's ability to keep tabs on you than I do me. And I've got more confidence in the ability of the Holy Spirit to bring conviction than I do for me to. Where do we see that we're supposed to bring conviction on one another? That's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit. We're to edify and encourage and build up one another. Even the prophetic is for comforting, exhortation, and edification, which is building up. And there goes a ladder. Probably stealing a ladder. No, they're up to something. It's important that we understand this. Because we need to give liberty for government to function, but we need to understand what true biblical government looks like. I said earlier, I had a higher authority than the apostolic already. I also have a higher authority than the elder, being an elder. I'm your brother. See, that speaks of a relational authority above all other. If anyone see a brother overtaken in a fault, let such a one restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. See, we can say, well, if government doesn't really mess with our life, then where does correction come in? How do we bring correction to somebody? Who can I pick on? I can pick on my brother Sean. He's a fellow elder. We'll work it out behind closed doors if we have to. But if my brother Sean needs correction, then and this whole thing of leadership isn't there to whip him into space, what is? How then? Do we just wait for God? No, the body can bring correction, but I don't pull the apostolic card. And I don't pull out my pastoral card. I pull out the highest card that I have. I pull out my card that says, I'm your brother, and I'm concerned about you. And I'm not going to speak to you from up here as an apostle, nor am I going to speak to you from here as a pastor. I'm going to speak to you here on a level field, brother to brother, eye to eye, as your brother. And see, the reality is, if he needs correction, if it's about the apostolic, all he's got to do is step off church property. He's beyond my sphere. If it's about the pastoral, all he's got to do is undo his membership, just not be a member anymore, and it's beyond his sphere. He's out of his reach. But as a brother, you can't get out of my reach. We're locked in, brother. And we, the real strength of the brother-to-brother thing, or brother-sister, whatever, is we have a common father. Don't make me bring Dad in on this. But, listen to me, but I don't pull my prophetic card and say, hey, Dad said, who parents among us do that? Now, okay. Yeah, we do. We do, don't we? And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But the reality is, if there is need for deep, deep correction, we as mothers and fathers don't pull one of the siblings and say, you go deal with Johnny. Now, you might say, go tell him to get out of the garden, or to stay out of the garbage, or to put his pants back on, or whatever. But I mean, in really serious stuff, we do not bring in... You know, we do not say, your brother's out of order, you correct it. No, we step in as parents, not as, and we don't send them with a message from us. We bring the message ourselves. And I've found that most correction in the body of Christ takes place by Dad himself, and he's really good at it. And if we who see a brother overtaken in a fault will restore such a one, work to restore such a one, in a spirit of meekness or gentleness. It's not our job to get heavy-handed. That's Dad's job. Which of us parents has our kids spank their siblings? We shouldn't. And again, I realize there's babysitting and there's... But, you know, I mean in the really serious stuff of bringing order to the family. And neither do we, listen to this, neither do we bring in Uncle Joe. Neither do we bring in someone from somewhere who the kids hardly even know. Why do I say this? Because for so many years, prophetic voices were brought in from God knows where. They're brought into the family of God so that the pastor doesn't have to do his job. The elders don't have to do their job. And the prophet gets up and he just rails on the people. And then when he's gone, the pastor says, oh, he was so mean. But inside he's saying, yes, somebody finally spoke order in the house. And that's out of order because it isn't out to Uncle Joe or Prophet Allen or somebody from another place. We are a family. And there's no higher order that we function in when you want to talk about family government than brothers and sisters functioning together under a common father who loves us all. I know there isn't much order to this message. I mean... I don't even know where my glasses are. Thank you. Now, you may feel like I'm a bit riled up today. I am. I'm not even sure why, except it's the unction of the Spirit on the inside of me, because this is important, because we are a church who is pressing after revival, and in order for revival to come and to stay and to abide, there must be proper government that allows the body of Christ to be the body of Christ, and the people of God to be revived in the way that works for them, so that we're not a bunch of cookie cutter Christians, all impacted by God the same way. But we're allowed to allow my brother over here, my sister, yeah, you too. We're allowed these two over here to laugh for apparently no reason, while someone over here, yeah, you two are crying for apparently no reason, and it's only because Father is in the house and he's playing with his children in the living room, and the government that we have a responsibility is not to try to shut that down or try to shut that down, but to give liberty for the functioning of the Father in his house, knowing that God has the ability to touch his kids and to touch them uniquely different. In fact, Paul, when he wrote, he didn't use, so what do we do when revival comes and it is coming and it's already happening? And what do we do? How do we control this thing? Wrong word. You don't. Controlling the Holy Spirit is like trying to hold oil in your hands or fire or wind. Take your pick. No, we do with the word that Paul used. It is required of a steward. We steward the anointing. We steward revival. We carefully steward on behalf of another what he does in the room. We'll be wise to interpret it. We'll be wise to help give understanding. We'll be wise to help settle a family down if some unusual stuff starts happening. Is that mine? This is important. We understand this. What we're describing this morning, I believe, is apostolic. See, when we understand that type of government, and when we realize that even leaders he pans off, by the way, I want to make sure there's understanding, there's no need for correction. But I had to have an example that I could pick on. But when we understand that even leaders are careful to keep hands off the individual believer, then we as individual believers will keep hands off of one another. See, Paul asked the question, who made you judge of another man's servant? If when we realize that not even our leaders are judges per se, the judge, here come the judge, here come the judge. When we realize that not even the highest or the lowest, if you can catch it in the context of what I'm saying this morning, not even those who are in the belly of the ship rowing and pulling for all their worth. Do you know, I don't want to leave that thought. I'll come back to that if I can. If not even they will render judgment against others, then we best not. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 there, if we'd have read on, we'd have said, Paul said, it's a small thing to me that you judge me. I don't even judge myself. And he's been talking about laying the foundation. And every man building upon it. See, you're responsible for how you build. One of my responsibilities here is to lay foundation. Has been for years, and I'm going to continue to pull us back to the foundation like I did last week. But you're responsible for how you build on that foundation. One of the reasons there's so many churches in this community is because there are so many different ways of building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And I will not judge my brothers and sisters who build way different than I do, who are having a way different service this morning than we are. That's between them and God. And personally, I think they're just doing just fine for them. It comes back to what we talked about last week. We need to be uniquely us and be free to be uniquely us. All right, then. What the heck do you apostles do then? I believe all five, by the way, I believe this is true for all fivefold ministries. Dave only has an authority as a pastor because a team of elders said he does. He's a spokesman for us because we've asked him to be. He's a senior leader, if I could say it that way, among equals, if you can understand that. When we sit, we meet every a couple times a month, three times a month, and when we sit in a room behind closed doors, he's one of five elders, five voices. Out here, you see him as a senior leader because we've asked him to be. I was a senior leader here for 17 years, and I passed the baton to him, and I asked him to be because I knew that there were some things that needed to happen here that he could do better than me. There was some rowing that needed to take place that I couldn't do. And he's getting her done. And you all know that. Why? Because he's more of a true pastor than I am. Sometimes the apostolic thing gets in the way of the day-to-day caring for the sheep. And I don't mean in a negative way. I just means we're different. Well, yes, but Pastor Bob, you're servant of all, so that means you do whatever I ask you to do. Whoa, that was a good one. No. Let's understand something. I'm not, I serve you, but I'm not your servant. I'm his servant. And I'm uniquely equipped to serve in certain ways, but there's some things, believe me, you don't want me doing. Dave made a joke a few weeks ago and says Bob won't be doing any counseling. There's a reason for that. And it's not because I don't care about you, and it's not because I don't like you. It's because I have to struggle to do one-on-one counseling because I'm not wired that way. He is. So he thrives on it, and I think there's something wrong with him. No, I don't, because I'm being. It's because I realize that's the way he's wired, and he is pastoral in nature, and I'm not. And so, yes, we are servant of all, but we serve within our sphere. We serve within our. The Greek word is metron. See, I have a sphere which I function best in, and I'm functioning best in it right now here this morning. And you all know that. I'm much better off to you functioning in the apostolic than I am in the pastoral. And you all know that. And you can sense it, and you can feel it, and you can see it. My wife can see it. We had an apostle about 6 years ago. We were just had a meeting, and we were sitting around eating and having some food, and this guy, Marcy and I are standing side by side. He says something to her as if I'm not even in the room. He says, when that man gets into his true call, he's going to look about 10 years younger. I feel good. It's true. So what do apostles do? What do the fivefold do? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, number one, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In my personal opinion, I am called to do primarily two things, equip you and edify you. And this morning, I'm working more on the edifying, and I'm building you up. I want to encourage you. Last week, I worked more on the edifying. And we're going to do some classes and have some something that'll equip the saints, but it'll equip you to be you, not to be someone else. And it'll equip you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, not of Dave or Bob or Sean or Henry or Ken. You will be a follower of Jesus Christ, and you'll be uniquely you. So when I say we do not have authority over you, we have authority for you. That's what I'm talking about. I have an authority in the Spirit, and I don't understand it, and I cannot boast in it comes from God, but I have an authority for you as it pertains to the things of the Spirit and releasing things. And it's for you, and it's for the sake of the body. It's for us. Just like I have an authority for my wife, I don't have an authority over her. Believe me, after 33 years, I found that out. Sometimes I want to say to husbands, who in the, do you think you are? I have an authority for her. I'm a protection for her. But she is for me as well. She's my best accountability partner. Not my only, but one of my best. And one of my other best accountability partner talks to her often about how I'm doing at home. Gives her a little slip of paper with a place for grading me. On a scale of 1 to 10, how is Bob doing in this? How's he doing in this? And I love it. And I'm doing real good. Ain't I? No, it's an authority for, not over. I want to do two things in the next. Oh, either that clock's wrong or mine. I think I'm. Yes, come on up.
I just have a couple things to share. Number one, when we were in worship, and I don't remember the name of the words of the song, but all I could think of was freedom. And I saw, and it was Breaking Chains. I don't know if that was in the song or not, but anyway, I saw that there were people that had chains around them.
Yep.
And predominantly, it was the head of the household. The chain, and then I saw that person look at that chain as if that chain was mammoth, and there was subsequent chains. And I saw the Lord reach down. All of a sudden, I felt like I got the perspective of the Lord, but I saw him reach down. And it was interesting because while Bob was speaking, I saw this clipper come down.
Bolt cutter.
Yeah, it was like a bolt cutter, but quite honestly, I saw it and I said, something hit me that it was this a pruning shear? And I felt like the Lord said, no, it's not, but it looked like a pruning shear. And so I don't know what that means necessarily, but I just saw him cut those chains and I saw his perspective. Those bolt cutters were huge. I mean, they were huge, like they were city blocks long. And the chains they were cutting that this person thought, or these people thought were so big, were just being snip, snip, snip. And not only that, but as he snipped the chains off of the, I felt like off of the head of that family, the chains just snipped right on down the line. And I thought, well, what is this about? But the more Bob started talking, I thought, he's explaining the apostolic, and true, it is in the church. But I felt like God's heart, too, is not only to make that clarified in the church, but in, as he spoke, in our families, and what that rightfully looks like. And I feel, and I got this thing again, and I've been getting it the last few weeks about certain people, and I get the phrase that you feel like you're the tail and not the head. And it's not because... it's because of the perspective that you've had and probably some things that have come down generationally. So I just wanted to share that because when we have a chance to pray for people, it isn't only people that, which is very important, the people that have been affected adversely from leadership in the church, but also that have been affected by in the process of perhaps covering leadership, apostolic covering, as Bob shared, within the family.
Yeah, stay up here.
Okay.
That's where I was going. I would like everyone to stand who has ever been hurt by leadership, by authority. You can stand right in your seat. And I decree or say this morning with an understanding. Some of you may have even been hurt by me. And I understand that. Although it wasn't intentional, that doesn't make it any less valid or real. Now, we stand as leaders, and I'm going to ask you a question. You, those of you who are standing, will you forgive? And we're standing in proxy. We're standing in for those who wounded you. And if it was us or me, then it makes it really easy. But for if it wasn't, would you forgive those who wounded you and hurt you? Pray the prayer that's in your belly. I'll join in. Break those chains.
Thank you, Father.
The false.
Father, you've heard the confession of those, Father, that have chosen to forgive. And Father, I even want to address those that perhaps even in their heart of hearts, perhaps have trouble with saying, I forgive. I choose to forgive. Father, I ask you that you would release grace right now, God. Release grace, grace, grace,
grace.
Father, that they choose to forgive.
In the name of Jesus.
Father, that they just say the words, they choose to forgive, because God, you will honor those words, even though they don't feel it. They say to themselves, I can't, or I don't know how I can. Father, I declare, Father, even if they choose to say it to this day, I choose to forgive, Father, that you will extend the grace, Father, to release them, Father, and to end that person, Father, that extent it was the abuser or whatever the case may be that they were hurt by. Father, I declare in the name of Jesus,
cut
Father,
chains.
I declare that those chains now
yes,
have been cut
in Jesus'
name.
Yes.
We declare cut the chains. We
yes.
declare cutting
cut,
of the chains cut, now in Jesus' name.
In the name
even
of
through,
Jesus.
Father, the generations. Yes, yes, I hear them cut. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Yes.
Yes, all the way down, all the
yes.
way through, God.
Yes.
All the way through. Every yes. last chain cut in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Thank you, Father.
Yes, we agree. We call for a healing
thank
of the
you
wound
for the, yes,
that was
God,
wounded.
Yes.
We validate the wound. We say it was real. We say it was not of your imagination. It was real. If you felt it, if
yes.
it impacted you, then it was real. We validate
yes,
the wound,
Lord.
But we call for a healing of it in the
yes,
name of Jesus.
Yes.
That wound
that
closes
wound.
Up in the name
pour
of
out
Jesus.
That oil.
For those who are in
pour
areas of
oil,
authority,
God,
even in
healing.
Family lines, who functioned under the very authority that hurt them and even began to unknowingly become that same type of leader, we break that chain in the name
yes.
of Jesus. We release a gentleness of heaven upon leaders of this household,
yes.
whether they're pastors,
thank you,
whether they're elders, whether they're fathers, grandfathers, uncles, whatever sphere of authority, aunts, mothers, every mm-hmm. sphere of authority in the name of Jesus.
Yes, thank
we bring
you, Father.
It out of the way of the world and into the way of the kingdom, and we say it is first and foremost peaceable and gentle, full of mercy,
yes,
without
Father.
Partiality, without hypocrisy, full of good mm-hmm. fruit. We declare that that authority that comes from the wisdom of God will function in our spheres of influence and in our spheres of authority.
Yes, Father.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, there is a breaking off. There's
yes.
a breaking. Just receive it. There's a
Father,
breaking
I break
off.
Father, I break the mindsets, Father.
Yeah.
Father, in prayer
yes.
today, Father, we saw in the Spirit, Father, there were minds, Father, that were going to be healed.
Yeah.
Father, that we're going to be renewed today. I break those mindsets from the past, Father, even that have come down from generations, from the perspectives, from the ways they've thought about things, from the way they've looked at things, Father, that have been skewed. Father, straighten the crooked paths, Father, in the minds, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
I declare old mindsets broken off now in Jesus' name. And I declare we have the mind of Christ. We release the mind of Christ, the renewing of the mind of Christ into the minds,
Let
Father. Thank you, Father.
Let that happen on the inside.
Thank you, Father.
Spirit of God, come in and heal.
Thank you, Father.
Come in
yes,
and heal.
Lord.
Come in and heal.
Thank you, Father. Yes. Thank you, Father.
Renewing of the mind. This is important.
Thank you, Father. Yes.
This is important to God. Stay up here. Everybody say this after me. It is finished.
It is finished.
Okay. You can sit down. Now, you may find that some of the old thoughts will come back, some of the old tapes will try to rerun, but I had you say it is finished because you may need to say that in the days to come in yourself and in your inner being, because the voice of the adversary will come and lie to you. Tell him it is finished. We want to do one other thing. I want anyone who, and I'm just going to put this, I'm just going to cut through all the stuff and put it as plain and simply as I can. Anyone that finds himself in a season right now that just sucks, please stand. It's just a hard season. And if you're not, it's okay. But we all go through seasons that are really rough. I was getting a word for the two of you, actually, earlier on. And now that you're standing and confirm it, I'll release it. All hell is broken loose, and I don't understand that. And what I want to say to you is there is a season. This is only a season, and you need to know that. And this that is going on, and I don't know nothing about it, but it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with another situation. But what I heard the Lord saying is all hell is broke loose, but it is just a season, and there is another season coming, and that season will be called all heaven is breaking loose. And so amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So I'm not here this morning to declare an end to the season that you're in. I'm here to tell you that it will end, and I'm here to tell you that there is a better season that is just as awful as this one is. There is a season coming that is awesome. And the key in walking through seasons is to walk through them with grace and to pull out of the season everything you can for the next season. Okay? Okay. Now, all of those of you who stood, I want to make an apostolic declaration, because we're going to break. There's been a yoke of discouragement that has been on you. And I'll say to you the same as I said to them. I am not here to declare an end to the season. I'm not. That's not what I'm hearing. I am here to declare the yoke of discouragement to lift off of you so that you can continue to walk through this season and get every inch of mileage you can out of it, so that when and I say to you, as I said to them, seasons have a beginning and they have an end. That's why they're called seasons. It's not life. It's a season. And I'm here to declare, go for it. I'm here to declare for you in the name of Jesus, even as we sang in that song, the name of Jesus breaks chains. The name of Jesus breaks chains. And I release an apostolic declaration for you, and I release an apostolic authority for you that breaks the yoke of discouragement in Jesus' name. It breaks off now. Discouragement leaves and it lifts in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, if anyone who is weary and heavy laden, come to me and I'll give you my yoke. And his yoke is always easy and gentle and light. So we call this morning for a transference of yokes. And I know and a lot of you would like to come forward and have hands laid on you. But one thing I want you to understand about apostolic authority is it is released with the voice as well as with the laying on of hands. And so we release it with the voice. Receive it. Yoke lift in the name of Jesus. If you are in need of healing, reach up. Raise your hand right now if you're in need of healing. Father, healing in the name of Jesus. This disease breaks in the name of Jesus. Many times in seasons of difficulty, disease wants to sneak in. And it's not part of the season. Listen to me. It's not part of the season. It's whatever they call that, things that pile on top of. Healing in Jesus' name. Healing in Jesus' name. I declare healing to your body in the name of Jesus. Be healed in that name that's above every other name. You got a prayer? Yes, you do. I just feel it.
I just saw wet blankets on people. They were heavy and they were wet. And I just think as a But those that will or feel comfortable doing, if you just lift that off of you as a prophetic act, that wet blanket, that heaviness off of you in Jesus' name, I declare that wet blanket, those wet blankets, that heaviness in Jesus' name, lift, lift in Jesus' name, lift. Be released.
That lifts in the name
be
of
released.
Jesus.
Be released.
To this body.
Lift.
That stuff dries up.
Thank you, Father. Thank
in the name
you, Father.
Of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah. We say yes.
And I declare and I release the spirit of discernment. Father, we ask for the spirit, I declare the spirit of discernment released in Jesus' name over minds, Father, that when thoughts come, there would be a discerning, Father, of the thought, Father, unto the intent of the heart, the spirit of God, to say, no, that's a lie, I don't receive that.
Yes, we agree.
Or yes, Lord, if that's from you, then I receive that and I ask you to minister to me in that. Father, discerning of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, Father. Bring the separation, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I bind all spirit of confusion in Jesus' name. I bind it and root it out in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Spirit of confusion, you have no place here in Jesus' name. We break you off right now in Jesus' name. And we release the spirit of peace, the spirit of a sound mind. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Let's all stand together. Put out your hand as if God was going to put something in it. Believe he will. Father, we declare a blessing from you to these your children, sons, daughters. Bless them. Blessing of God. I encourage you to just take a second, ask God what it is that he's just putting in your hand right now. It's between you and him. Know his voice. That's why the government of the individual believer is always with the believer, because you know your Father's voice. What is it, Father, you're putting in our hand? Bless you. Go from here recognizing you are the head and not the tail. Are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. You represent him out there. I'm going to ask if the altar team, Robin, come on up. There'll be teams up here to pray with you if you like. Encourage you, we want to dismiss you, but if you want to visit out in the lobby, there's coffee available. We want to protect the atmosphere of the sanctuary. There's an awesome presence here right now. If you want to just stay and let God do business with you and you do business with God, that's fine. There's teams available to help you with that if you like. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.